See, now we're going all philosophical. If this, then
yes,
that.
Yes, bring it, Plato.
Hi there, and welcome to this, the 30th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And on this episode, what we're going to do, we've realized now that 30 episodes into our podcast, we have never had a specific episode tailored towards the topic of caregiving.
And that is, I think it's woven throughout every episode that we've done. We always talk about different elements of caregiving. But really, I think this will be a good opportunity for us both to just talk about the ups, the downs, the everyday business that goes into caregiving. So I look forward to having this conversation with you, love.
Well, thank you, love. And I think that's where we're talking about this is it stems from our work with the steering committee with iConquer MS for caregivers.
And iConquer MS is a platform where people living with multiple sclerosis can share some of their information and connect with other people and get some information and just find out more about the disease. And iConquer MS is trying to reach out to that underrepresented population of caregivers, get their voices, their take on what it's like living with MS. And I guess that would be my first question to you, Dan. And I know the answer, and I think everyone out there listening knows. But do you consider yourself a caregiver for me?
And that's an interesting question in that until we had the discussion within the steering committee about how some people who care for another person living with multiple sclerosis don't necessarily attach to the term or see themselves as a caregiver. And I think then we're talking about words and I mean in semantics and everything, but I mean in terms of a question of a caregiver versus I know another term is like care partner. And to me, if I heard care partner, I would not feel that that would pertain to me. I don't feel like I'm a partner in that. I feel more like I'm caring for you, but to which I will flip it back to you then, Jennifer, along this same line. You do not like the term caretaker.
I don't like caretaker. I've never been a big fan of that word because I think it, to me, pertains to a cemetery plot. You know, you have a caretaker to pull the weeds out from where your loved ones are buried. And I welcome the term caregiver, and care partner is even that bad. But it's an interesting way to think about yourself is for me, because I'm the one in the wheelchair and I'm the one most people think would be needing a caregiver. And they wouldn't maybe think of me so much as a caregiver for my able-bodied husband. But until we had this conversation a number of years ago, you know, maybe 5 years into our marriage, I'm as much of a caregiver to you because there are things that you are no longer, it's not that you're not able to do, but because of everything you do for me, it's important that I do my part to help you out. And that's if you're feeling a little, this is, I'm going all over the place, Dan Digman, sorry.
Talk to me.
But if you're having those moments, and I myself am very honest to admit it, where you feel puny and weak, as you know, I've alluded to the fact I don't walk and you have to help me with just about every activity of daily living. But I have to remember I help you, and there are ways that what I can do, it helps me when I'm feeling low and mopey and thinking, oh, I'm so worthless. No, I mean, there are things that you, Dan, you know, even if it's something small, like, oh, sending our nephew a birthday card and a birthday present, you know, you may be able to do that, but you're doing a ton of other things. And if I can pick that up and lighten the load for you, and that's something that's important to you, which it is, something that I can do that makes me feel like, yes, I'm a productive member of this team. So that is my caregiving role for you, is I help, you know, like, for example, Dan had a cold last week, not a cold, but his allergies. We live in Michigan. Allergies were going insane and you were just not doing well. And you didn't have the opportunity to run to the drugstore and get some cold some allergy medication. And I did that, and I felt like really, like, you know, just some simple like that, that I can do to help lighten your load and to make you feel better. That's where I feel productive as a caregiver. And so that's where I think it's really important that no matter your abilities or your inabilities, to remember that you are on a team with your spouse, your care partner, or the person that you're living with, and you need to function however the best you can. And that's, I don't know, I went totally on a big old like soapbox there, but I think it's important.
I didn't step in your way. I mean, you were on fire, and I see exactly what you're saying, but in what you've told me, what you've said, then I do not need to ask you the question. I will ask after the fact, in retrospect, but it's like the question is, do you consider yourself my caregiver? And as you've said, I mean, if you'd say no, I'd rewind the tape and say no, but
no, but you said this, Bobby Brady, those are your exact words. I do think of myself as your caregiver, but more importantly, I think of myself as your wife. And you often say that chivalry is not dead. And when you do things for me, and I'll be like, oh, you do so much, Dan, because that's genuinely how I feel. But you'll say, I would do that for you if you had multiple sclerosis or didn't have multiple sclerosis. I'm your husband. Well, for me, you had an allergy reaction and you were in poor shape. Let's be honest. And as your wife, I'm going to, without, get you some cold medication or some allergy medication. I don't know why I keep, you it's, didn't have
they're, cold. They're one and the same. You can interchange them for this conversation.
But, you know, I did that because I'm your wife and I want to be thoughtful. But it's also, I wanted to do it because look what I can do. And, you know, I'm a caregiver. I want to take care of my husband. So that's, I think that it's an important role. And I think, yes, I am your caregiver.
And I think that's the interesting thing of what we had learned, is just how people who are caring for a loved one, for a spouse, a parent, a child, they do not see themselves as a caregiver. They see themselves as the loving family member first and foremost. I would say that I see myself as a husband first and foremost. You see yourself as a wife, semicolon, however, comma. I think that there is that sense of when it deals with like activities of daily living or activities just related to health, at what point does it become caregiving versus being a spouse, a parent, a parent, child, however you slice it? Or is everything, as we talk about, being synonymous and whatnot, and they sort of, one carries into the other, are we really splitting hairs between the question, or is this, I mean, in terms of the identity as a caregiver, as opposed to being just a loved one doing what loved ones do?
I think like so much in society today, it depends on who you're speaking with, you know, because some people will associate caregiver with burden. You know, if I said that's my husband, I'm going to get medicine for my husband. Not a big deal, but I'm a caregiver. I have to get medicine for Dan. Then it seems more burden-esque, like you're doing it because it's a job. And it's not. I'm doing it because I love you and because I care about you. So I imagine, you know, if you were working and you said, oh, I'm a caregiver for my wife, would that, I don't know, would that make people think, oh, he's going to be that guy that has to take a lot of time away because he's got a wife at home to take care of. So I think that there can be some negative connotation of the word caregiver, or it can be seen as very, very brave and heroic and, oh, Dan is so kind because he's a caregiver for his wife. I just think in every context, people can manipulate it and make it fit what they want. And that's, you know, I'm proud to be your caregiver. I'm proud to be your wife. That's a really interesting question because I have a caregiver during the day while you're working. And while I appreciate and like my caregiver, it's not the same relationship I have with you by any means. So that's why, you know, yes, caregiver's important and we want to lessen the burden on our caregivers. But it's, yeah, that's a sticky subject.
Well, then that's why we're talking, but I'm trying to think of the analogy or the synonym or whatever. It's just like, I am a professional writer. I write for a living. I work for Ruffalo Noah Levitz. Thereby then I'm a Ruffalo Noah Levitz employee. But my profession is I'm a writer. Is that like, or can we, I don't know where you draw the equal thing to say. Is it like caregiver, you know, it's just like, am I making sense? Am I just, should I like really plotted this out on paper first? But you know, but what I'm saying is like, I'm both. I'm a writer and I'm an RNL employee. So it's just like, I'm a spouse and I'm a caregiver.
That you can do both things and that they don't have to be independent of each other, or they can be independent of each other. That's why it's so difficult just how to define it. But I know we're doing this study, if you want to call it a study, for I Conquer MS, where we're talking about those questions. Just what stress or what name do you prefer? Do you prefer a care partner, a caregiver? Do you feel, you know, just what are you going through if you're a caregiver for somebody living with multiple sclerosis? And we being I Conquer MS, the steering committee, we're trying to get some information. What do you feel about your role and what name do you prefer to call yourself? And we're going to have something in the show notes about the survey, because this is an essential part of, you know, the lives of so many of us living with multiple sclerosis. And we want to get the caregiver voice. We want to represent them.
Well, it's like give this survey of what we will have the link to in the show notes and everything. It's like, this is the opportunity for caregivers to get themselves a spot at the table when we're talking about and in conversations about multiple sclerosis, because so often, and we've talked about this, just how any conversation about multiple sclerosis is so targeted towards the person who has the disease. Well, technically, what about then everybody that they are, that are in their family, in their inner circle, you know, they also are dealing with the disease. And I think this is the interesting thing, and I don't have the numbers to specify, but just how few research topics are dealing specifically with what a caregiver is dealing with.
Okay, now I'm going to, because I love to do this to you, my love.
Bring it.
You're a man.
I am.
And how comfortable do you feel admitting that you have a caregiver? I mean, everybody knows you have a wife. I have the ring on my finger. You have the ring on your finger. But is it difficult as a man to admit you need help? That you need somebody to help you manage your day-to-day existence?
Yes. I mean, yeah. I mean, in the sense that, and you've called me out on this before, and rightfully so, I don't ask for help. I don't know if that's a gender thing or just how I'm like, I can do this. And I feel that if I have to ask for help, am I really trying? And I'm realizing as I get older that, you know, the weaker side is when you don't ask for help. It's just like it takes a stronger person to ask for help when they realize. And I think that's where I take too long to assess situations before I realize, yeah, I can't do this by myself. But I think with you, with our relationship with life and living with multiple sclerosis, I realize that if I'm going to be productive, or if we're going to make this, our relationship, work, it is a give and a take, and I can't do it all myself. And I'm realizing that, and I'm seeing that as a, you know, just a reality. So if I say, I think it is beyond the stubbornness or, you know, thick-headedness and not wanting to ask for help, I'm just realizing that, yeah, I need to, and I'm fine with asking for help, because I know I'm not doing myself any favors in trying to take it on all by myself. And so I will admit it's hard to say, it's harder for me to ask for help than it is to say that I have a caregiver.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, I appreciate your honesty, and it's sometimes frustrating if we're going to be fully honest. I have to ask for help so often during the day. And then if I have to ask for help, and then you don't. And it's like, okay, you expect me to ask people to do this for you, but you won't feel comfortable doing the same thing. I have to be the one to say, hey, can you help me eat my food? Or hey, can you help me reach this off the shelf? And you conversely don't feel comfortable doing that. So as a caregiver, Dan, when you met me, I was in a wheelchair, and you often say that you fell in love with me first time you met me. Go, Jen.
I saw you, yeah.
Yeah. So did you think about the fact that you would be wearing the caregiver hat some 17 years later, or heck, like the day we got married, that you would become my caregiver? And if you did that scare you? Did you look forward to the challenge? Let me into that brain of yours.
You really want to go there? Welcome to my brain. Did I know that? I mean, yeah. I mean, these are the things when we talk about, you know, we get all like so nostalgic and love, and, you know, make people throw up in their mouths hearing about it. But just when we talk about, oh, that day, that trip I took back to Iowa all by myself, and I thought about, will I be able to do this with Jennifer? And I mean, these things, yeah, those are things that I had in my head. It's just like, and I never once did I think I'm going to be her caregiver. I think that's probably when we're talking about words and stuff, never once did I think, I'm her caregiver. I will be her caregiver. I have to take care of her. I saw how lucky would that be if I would be her husband and be able to take care of her and love her. I mean, just how else do you show the love? And that's why I always say, when people get married, it's just like, and maybe I saw, we knew the writing was on the wall. We were into it in sickness and in sickness, right?
Right.
And so you knew that going into it, but it's just like, if you get married and you say that, if you're not both living with a chronic illness and you say in sickness and in health, this is part of the deal. I mean, that you talked about being on a soapbox earlier, but it's just like, if I'm saying in sickness and in health, I'm going to be there one way or the other and never thinking of things as a caregiver. I'm doing that out of love for my spouse.
And I want to put yourself into a different pair of shoes.
Okay. More than a size 8.5.
I've heard a number of people over the 25 years that I've been living with this disease whose spouses walk away. Yep. And I wonder sometimes if that happens because that person maybe thinks about everything all at one time, kind of like when we were first diagnosed with MS. I remember I read that symptom management book that my neurologist told me not to read. And I said, oh my God, I'm going to start peeing my pants. I'm going to lose my vision. I'm going to have no sensation in my feet. And I'm going to have optic neuritis and every bad thing is all going to happen at the same time. And now living with MS for 25 years, fortunately, I've realized it doesn't happen like that. But for a spouse whose other significant other is diagnosed with this disease, do they stop and do they have a moment where they're like, oh, crap, I'm going to have to take care of this person. I'm going to have to help this person in the bathroom. I'm going to have to cook their food. I'm going to have to feed them. I'm going to have to do laundry. And is that when they say, no, this is way too much for me? I'm just trying to get in the heads of people. And that, certainly those are concerns. And you're pretty amazing, Dan, because you knew that you were going to take on this role and vice versa. I knew I would do whatever I could to help you. But I can see how it can be very overwhelming and it can be scary.
Truly.
But I think that's why communication has to really exist between spouses or caregivers and care partners. It's just, because this is, like you've said, neither one of us has multiple sclerosis without the other person.
Yeah.
You're living with MS, but even if I wasn't living with MS, I'm living with MS because I'm living with you. That's the reality. I have to understand or try and understand what you're going through.
I'm not saying things as though to pass judgment on people and spouses who do leave or it's too much. I mean, because I can't put myself in their shoes and I don't know what they're dealing with. But from my standpoint, that's what got me there. But then I also think too that if I didn't have MS,
right?
Okay.
Yes.
But you did. And I was okay, but I was your caregiver. And if it's the reality, if now we're going all philosophical, if this, then
yes,
that.
Yes, bring it, Plato.
If I'm your caregiver, I don't have MS, you have MS. I'm your caregiver. But do we also, is that where we as a society, as people, need to, what we need to do is make caregiver the title or a subtitle for every spouse, for health or no, I mean, chronic illness or not, in the sense too then that If I didn't have MS, you did. I was your caregiver. On many levels, though, then too, would it help you, us, if you as a person living with MS saw yourself also then as my caregiver, in the sense of making it very much a one-sided thing with caregiving and saying, oh, well, you know, if caring for a spouse with MS, would it help to give the person with MS more agency to say that, yeah, but you play a role in this too, that, you know, part of your care for your spouse who is caring, or, you know,
if, did I ever tell you I didn't do well in philosophy in college?
I was a philosophy minor until I took philosophy of religion, and then it's like, nope. But what I'm saying is just like, this is a shared relationship, and I think that's where for you and me it works, because we both have MS, and so we see each other as a caregiver, and you know that you're helping your cause as somebody with secondary progressive MS. You're helping yourself because you're doing what you can to help me, and by you helping me, it makes my life easier, so then I can provide better care for you.
I gotcha. That you have to be in it. I mean, with caregiving, with the relationship, as much as you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And I imagine, I see what you're saying. It's like, if I just stopped, if I just sat back and
if you just sat as a receiver and it's just like, oh, that's the best I can do because I'm the one who's sick.
I'm the one in the wheelchair. I'm the one, I just need care. I have nothing to give. Then why would you want to help? And why would, I mean, I would get sick of me if I would just be like, stop being pathetic. You have a chronic illness, but you're not. You know, there's latch onto whatever you've got and give your spouse or your caregiver, your care partner, give them everything you got. You know, I went to exercise today because I love it, and, you know, it gives me some social outlet. But I go also because I want to keep myself, is, you know, I boxed today. And I know that that's going to have a result that maybe tomorrow I'll be able to use my arms a little bit better. Where I'm trying because you're my caregiver, but you're my spouse, and I want to keep myself in the best possible condition I can for you, in spite of the fact that I have multiple sclerosis. So that's a big soapbox, and I'm sorry if we just like totally tangented away from the caregiver reality.
But I think I would like to think that we at least had the conversation to open the doors to saying what makes it work and what, you know, what's needed. And so, yes, I am your caregiver. I'm your husband. You are my wife. You also are my caregiver. And I think it's, like you say, doing what you can where you are. And then both sides appreciate. I think that's a big thing, too, is appreciating in both sides. You're not demanding this of me. I don't demand this of you. It's like, Jennifer, get with your other caregiver, Jen, and go up and get me some allergy medicine. It's like, no, you, because honestly, I was thinking either just going without allergy medicine, or if I got bad enough, I would have run up to Rite Aid and gotten something. But you're like, nope, I'm getting you medicine.
Right. And that's, I think that defines like a caregiver spouse relationship. We just have to think of the other person. At the core, you're the person I want to be with. You're the person I have fun with. You're the person I can sit on the couch and watch TV shows and just be mindless, and you are who I want to be with. And so that's important. I think when you're living with a chronic illness, that you have to remember that other person is your person. And if you have a caregiver and you're not in a relationship with that caregiver, that's fine, but you have to remember that person is taking care of you, and you want to do your best to take care of your caregiver. It's a relationship, and we just want to We want to do what we can for each other.
And I think that one of the best things we ever heard, and I think if you recall when we were, it was down, actually it was in Virginia, a retreat and everything for people with MS. And it was just like the question of not seeing the person with MS as a burden that you're caring for. It's like seeing them as a blessing. And so, and I think that, you know, that goes two ways. It's like on both senses that it's just like, I see you as a blessing, but then you in turn see me as a blessing, and just how you make those relationships work. And it's just keeping your eyes open and not, like we've always talked, don't keep score, and you're both on the same team and MS is your opponent. And so work together to make it work.
I think that's very true and very sweet. And if you are a caregiver, a care partner, person living with multiple sclerosis, Dan and I would love to hear your take on what this is. What does this relationship with a caregiver, spouse, care partner, what does it look like for you? What words do you like? You know, we're here talking, but we would like to hear some other voices from our brethren in the MS community. So reach out to Ryan, reach out to Dan, me, let us know.
We'll have information on that in the parting shots for the episode and also in the show notes. And I think we just jump right into moments of joy. And speaking of Ryan, this is, again, a Ryan-less show. Is that like a noun or a Ryan-less?
Well, Ryan cannot be here today. We're thinking of him. And always when we do the moments of joy, we think of him because it was just such a good idea that he had about things that make us stop and pause and realize how good things truly are. And for me, my moment of joy, it's been a good week. You know, I have like five, but I'll be okay. really quick.
Okay,
I won't do them all.
Okay.
I think my first moment of joy was banana pudding. Dan made banana pudding, and it was
just like instant jello, just dump two cups of milk.
But it was so delicious, and it was just like little kid and like nice weather, even though it's cold because it's Michigan. And it doesn't have to make sense. It's Michigan. But just to sit back and have banana pudding and just...
But it was like deluxe because we crushed up graham crackers and cut up a banana. And then you took the Cool Whip out of the freezer.
And it was like high class. High class banana pudding. And it was so fun. And it was just like a sweet treat. And so I think this week that just to talk about that. And we talked about it with someone in one of our groups of friends, and she was so excited about banana pudding. And then I told my mom about it. And it's just a simple little thing that gives you a little sugar buzz, let's be honest, and a reason to smile. So that's my moment of joy. What about you, Dan?
My moment of joy also has kind of food sort of thing, but just that we... For the first time of the season in a long time, brewed iced tea. And it's like, and granted, it's been freezing and we turned the heat back on here in Michigan. However, just having the iced tea, because that's such a taste of summer. And just having, we've got a pitcher of iced tea in the fridge that hasn't been touched since I made it this weekend, since we poured our first glass, because it's been like 50 degrees and who wants iced tea in the middle of 50 degree temperatures. But
and I want to say kudos to you and me, like, take that, MS. Iced tea has caffeine in it, and we're like, forget that, we're still drinking our iced tea. You know, if it wreaks havoc on our bladder, we're ready. We'll take it because it is, like you said, summer.
It's getting close. So that was my moment of joy. So we've got banana pudding and iced tea.
And it was good. So that's our moment of joy. And those are just our caregiving realities that little things, it doesn't take, you know, we have to be thankful for the small things and those moments of just joy and just to see your happy face when you have banana pudding or to see my happy face when I have a glass of iced tea. Those are good things. And so we need to be appreciative and thankful for that.
And well, and speaking of appreciating, we appreciate you all sticking around, checking us out again for this episode for A Couple Takes on MS. And again, I'm Dan Digman.
And I'm Jennifer Digman.
And I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.